Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports edutainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Happy Midweek Friday. Is that a thing, McAuliffe? Midweek Friday? Wednesday is the oddest better day to have off.
It's almost better than Midweek Friday, though I would love the three-day weekend more. The Midweek Friday is followed by a two-day week. So if you have Canada Day off.
Correct.
Wednesday, tomorrow, and then you go back to work and you only have 2 days off, 2 days more until a long weekend. Although I don't know how many people are working the classic Monday to Friday 9 to 5s these days.
Yeah, all bets are off.
I do believe that this is better than a Friday, than a midweek Friday, because you end up with only the 2 day work week after. You see what I'm saying?
So you have
eliminated hump day.
Hump day's gone.
Gone.
You're doing the Humpty dance. It's gone.
It is the Humpty dance day. We should make that a thing. I like it.
There you go. So
it's
to Tim, so you'd rather have this situation. Just so I'm clear, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You'd rather have this situation because of the 2 day week on the back end than a 3 day weekend.
No, I said the exact opposite to start the sentence. I would rather have the 3 day weekend.
Right.
But if you're talking about
you sold the 2 days at the end so well, I thought you were leaning towards the 2 day week on the back end, which is why I said that.
Give me the 3 day weekend. I'll take it in a flash.
Yeah, I'm with it. 3 day weekends are so much better. Tim and I are going to enjoy a day off, a Canada Day off with the family. A reminder, Tim and I are basically alongside a bunch of talented people here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet, have not stopped. So we're going to kind of take a breather tomorrow, which also happens to be our exact 5th anniversary of moving to television here on Sportsnet, as they call it Dark July 1st or Black July 1st. It was just, it's not a day people look back on fondly inside the building, but we arrived and we've been on air. We haven't been canceled. We've still been going strong. Tomorrow is the anniversary. Do you want me to skip past this part now, Timmy, and talk about maybe that a little later, or do you have something you want to add to that?
Nah, I'm good with it. I think we have a show though on Thursday where we might.
That's right.
Bust some of that stuff out, 6-0.
We can run some old stuff Thursday and have me do less work. Great idea. Coming up today here on Tim and Sid, as we are live from our basements on TV, radio, online, and available on Pod 24/7. We'll be joined by Donovan Bennett, who not only is the host of Proud Virtually, which you can see on sportsnet.ca, we'll get into that. He also has an essay on Canada Day dropping fairly soon, if I read the email correctly. We'll discuss that.
Did.
He's also the co-host of Free Association with your boy, J.D. Bunkus. He also co-hosts Sports on Pause with my boy, Richard Deitch. Donovan Bennett has a lot of jobs.
He needs another job. Yeah, he needs another job.
He has way too many jobs. So Donovan Bennett will be joining us. Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated will drop by. We'll talk some NBA, because why the hell not? There was a lot to discuss. Also, the Jays are in Dunedin, Tim. They'd like to be in Toronto. They can't come to Toronto yet. They don't know when they're going to be allowed federally to be in Toronto. When will the Jays be allowed to fly from Dunedin to Toronto? Shai Davidi of Sportsnet will join us in the next hour, and we'll try and navigate our way through this. And Tim, I did not see your neighbor Yanni on the guest list today. I'm assuming that we cannot line up. For those who missed it yesterday, Tim's neighbor bailed him out, so to speak, and from a bad bush situation in his backyard. And it's a long story, but it all makes sense.
Bush party tonight.
Tim started a bush party, and his neighbor Yanni saved him. We tried to get Yanni on the show. Obviously, he was busy or wants no part of us or some combination of the two, Tim. What's the final word on Yanni?
He just said, no way. No way was the... I asked him to come on the show. He said, no way. And he's just got to a text here. Sid, did you see this?
Oh, it's on our chat. Let me see.
Yeah. I am
minor league baseball season note.
Oh, minor league baseball.
You thought it said no.
I looked down. Minor league baseball officially canceled their season, and
wow.
I knew that. I looked down and I thought it said major league baseball.
That would have
officially
stopped me
canceled
in my tracks,
their
too.
Season.
That
and I was
in
stopped
track.
In my tracks yep. and started immediately searching up. So why don't we start there, Sydney? Because for the Toronto Blue Jays, it feels like the rest of the world is about to start their camp, and the Jays are going, wait a second here. What the hell are we doing? They're still hoping that they'll be cleared to play in Toronto, but have shifted plans on Monday, announcing in a statement they had instructed players to gather in Dunedin to begin the MLB-mandated intake process, testing, screening, and isolation while waiting for the results. They also pushed back a chartered flight from Florida that was scheduled to leave on Wednesday to Saturday. There's a statement from the Jays that went on to say, and I quote, upon the conclusion of intake and isolation, the team will either board a charter flight to Toronto to begin training under a modified quarantine isolated from the general public, or remain in Florida to conduct training. The Blue Jays are hopeful to stage training camp and play regular season home games in Toronto and will continue to work through this possibility. Your reaction to the Jays having to push pause on Toronto and wonder where the hell their camp will take place?
Timmy, I have two thoughts. One is from the professional side and one on the personal side for those involved. The professional side is, let's be honest here, there are teams that have had a pretty smooth last 7 to 10 days. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are pitchers who are getting in their three-inning simulated games. There are people who have been in batting cages enough. I've heard Brian Cashman, the Yankees, Tim, about an hour and a half ago, said basically he expects everyone back healthy. That includes James Paxton, Canadian James Paxton coming off the back injury, and maybe even Aaron Judge, who had a rib issue during spring training. There are teams that are already off to pretty good starts getting ready for this season. The Jays are nomads. They literally don't have a permanent home. They can't really focus like that. They can't look ahead to a season like that. You can't plan your day-to-day. You can barely plan where your next 2 hours are going to be. I mean, from a logistics standpoint, this is maddening. Now, from a personal standpoint, Tim, let's remind people, we don't have to. We've talked about it enough on this show. Florida, in terms
just
of COVID-19.
Florida. Just say Florida.
Like, all of Europe, all of it, isn't as bad as Florida right now. In fact, over the last 14 days, Timmy, the percentage of COVID-19 cases that have increased over the last 14 days in Florida have gone up by 236%. And you just had an organization tell its players and staff, go there. Hop on a plane if you can. Drive. However you can get there, as you try and get in the mental space to actually play and organize a season, go to the worst hotspot on earth. Go there now. And by the way, we don't know how long you're going to stay there. We have no idea how long you're going to stay there. But just kind of go with us on this, and we'll figure it out.
But you knew that needed to take place, right? Regardless of how...
I didn't know they'd have to be in Dunedin until Saturday. I didn't know that.
No, but you knew that there had to be a gathering spot for Toronto Blue Jays to get tested before they got on a plane. Otherwise, that would have been reckless.
Correct. And I thought it was going to take place a couple of weeks ago when they were in Dunedin, but when that rash of tests took place.
Correct.
That's where I thought it was going to happen. This feels a little different. Now, essentially, Tim, you're right. It's the same thing in terms of you got to congregate everyone together, whether it's Dunedin or wherever. It doesn't
Buffalo.
Matter. That has
it had to
happen.
Be somewhere.
Has to be somewhere. You're right. But just to get, imagine if you as a human being got that memo that the Jays sent out last night. I'm not ripping the Jays. The Jays had to do it. But I'm just saying as a person, let's internalize it. Go to Florida now. Go to Dunedin now. That's wild, man.
Let's
that
be
is
honest.
Wild.
Let's be honest here, though. Major League Baseball made this plan. The team most affected by this plan and the timing of it after, I almost swore, crapping their pants for about a month on a CBA and a return to play setup, set the short runway, and the Toronto Blue Jays were the team most affected by this, and Major League Baseball didn't really stop or push pause and say, well, what about the Toronto Blue Jays who don't have a home?
Couldn't care less.
Could care less. Just moved on. There were national media members talking about this more than Major League Baseball was. In the States, yeah. We're talking about this more than Major League Baseball was. The Jays were in a terrible spot to start, and I think the citizens of Canada would demand nothing else but to congregate somewhere else, get your tests, don't cross that border until you've had your tests and they are checked out, and then you can get on a plane and come from the hottest spot in the United States of America.
It's a hell of a way to get started for a season. That's a hell of a way. And you're okay, listen, I disagree with nothing you said, Tim. I agree with all of it. It's just there's a part of me that is just when, like, at some point here, when you focus on a season, some point there needs to be some joy in it. And the way baseball has organized this for the Jays specifically, that doesn't exist.
No.
That does not exist in any way, shape, or form because
panic
of all
the
questions.
Blue Jays,
and like you said, it's all timing. Major League Baseball couldn't they rushed it. Mark Shapiro has no time to get ready for this. I don't care how much planning you can do. Until that agreement is reached between the players and the owners, Mark Shapiro cannot put his foot down on the gas in reality. You cannot do it. And now they are where they are. I just think it's messed up, man. And I feel for a lot of people over the last 3.5 months, as you know, Tim. Mm-hmm. But this is to get an email say come to Florida now is not something I would have wanted my employer to ever send to me. I'm not saying I wouldn't go, but it's just messed up. It's really messed up.
Speaking of the Rockies, Ian Desmond, one of four major leaguers that announced yesterday that they were opting out of the 2020 season. In a lengthy Instagram post worth reading, if you maybe we can post it so that people can find it easier, or just, you know what, how about this? Google Ian Desmond Instagram. You can find it. He cited concerns over the virus, a desire to be home with his pregnant wife and four children during this challenging time. He also gave a scathing summary of the current state of Major League Baseball. The Nationals, Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross also out. Mike Leake also announced opting out. Do you think we'll see a lot more of this?
Yes. And I mean, the one thing I guess we should have said in the Jays conversation is still no one has told the Jays they're not coming. With the names you've already thrown out, and some of those aren't small names. We haven't heard yet. No one on the Jays team has said no. With that said, we're going to see this times six or seven. I think you're going to see a stretch here, McAuliffe, where people make real decisions, and I completely understand them. Like, take a guy like Ian Desmond. Here's what's interesting to me. Ian Desmond, in that post that you referenced, was as thorough as you can possibly be about his own situation and the situation of baseball and mm-hmm. what's going on in clubhouses and the type of language that's being used and the type of mentality that exists and just the general cheating that's gone on. Like, we're talking Astros and Red, like, just things that we know about. Ian Desmond is a guy who once turned down $100 million from the Washington Nationals, only to sign an $8 million deal with the Rangers. When that guy has his mindset that this doesn't feel right, he follows through on things. Mm-hmm. And when that guy lays things out in that essay that you referred to, I think it's telling. I think it speaks to a lot of things inside baseball that I haven't really contemplated in that way. So I look at Ian Desmond, as strong mentally as he is, for him to say nope, and for it to be just not one reason why he says no, you're going to see a lot more players, Tim. Guaranteed. You're going to see a lot more players.
Last week we were wondering if the surge of coronavirus was going to cost us a basketball, a hockey, or a baseball season. ESPN went hard on the topic today They had all of these essays written. Some of them, I don't know if you saw them, were animated. That's right. We're only about 5 days ahead of ESPN, but whatever. Where do you think we are on the idea that these spikes, specifically in Florida, Arizona, California, and the actual playing of these seasons that we are attempting to restart now? Do you think we'll lose any of them?
Yes. Yes.
So you think we're going to lose baseball? Do you think that text that I got scared about when we started the show,
you can up the phrasing.
I will actually get that.
Florida, 236% increase in tests in 14 days. There's two baseball teams There's two baseball teams in Texas last time I checked. Mm-hmm. 163% increase last 14 days. Arizona, baseball team there, 128% increase last 14 days. Never mind the hockey training camps that will also be taking place in Florida, Texas, and Arizona. Oh, did I mention Nevada? We don't have hub cities yet in the NHL, do we? 155% increase in tests, in positive tests, over the last 14 days for Nevada. Not everyone's going to reach the finish line here, man. Not everyone's going to get to where they need to be. We're going to see who planned. We're going to see who got it as right as they could, because no one's going to get it perfect. And we're going to see who looks like baseball, because right now baseball looks like baseball. And I have the least confidence that baseball, you could throw college football in there too, just because it's chaos and no one is actually running it. Baseball, I have the least amount of confidence. The least. So no, I don't, there's no way all of them come back successfully. Some might start, and then Tim might have to pull the plug, but where do you stand on that? Do you think all the sports will be finished?
There will be a path of acceptance from some that will allow their season to finish. But I look at the current landscape right now and those numbers that you just gave me, though I will say the hospitalization rates are a little bit lower than they were in other areas.
That is a real positive in this. You're right.
Here's what I'll say is we were supposed to learn from other countries. We've been saying this all along. You and I have had this conversation umpteen times over the last 3 months, and there are parts of the United States that refuse to actually listen to where and how other countries were doing this well. And now you're about to start when the needle is at its highest, as opposed to when the needle was at its lowest. And that's going to hurt the cause of all of these sports returning, and in fact may cause us to lose one more or both. Now, we're still waiting on the NHL's decision on hub seasons and more details on their return to play plan, but it seems like we're down to four. Toronto, LA, Chicago, and Edmonton. As you mentioned, Las Vegas seemingly out of the picture. Would you like to talk about that or about the idea that the CBA just might include the NHL returning to the Olympics? Because I'm near done talking about the negativity. How about I offer you up, as opposed to what I told you yesterday, I believe Toronto and Edmonton are the favorites to be the hub city in the NHL. And I offer one or the other, Sydney, Olympics or hub cities.
Let's just go Olympics. I'm just done with the hub.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not doing this for... We're off tomorrow. Let's just mix it up a little bit.
Every day. Olympics. Elliot Friedman, who's supposed to be on vacation instead, post something to sportsnet.ca. From what I understand, NHL players will compete in at least the 2022 games if a new CBA is finalized and there is a financial agreement with the International Olympic Committee. Good news for hockey?
Yeah, on a couple of fronts. One, Olympics and NHLers is good. I'm not a fan of the best on best in the middle of the night where I got to wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, although PVR now exists. So I'm more cool with it than I used to be. But I think it's great for hockey. It's also great for hockey because it means one thing, Tim, maybe checked off the box, one more item down, as the PA and the owners go through this. Because, Tim, July 10th is not that far away, man.
No.
Phase three, training camp, that's the scheduled date. They could do whatever they want with that date. But right. phase July 10th has been fairly firmed up when talking to people in the game for a long time. They need to knock these things out, man. Right. Olympics is not a small topic. CBA, not a small topic. What about escrow? What about the safety precautions? What's it going to look like in training camp? How many tests are too many tests before you even leave training camp? In individual cities, what will quarantines look like? These things got to get done soon, man. And the fact that that one is technically off the books from Frege, that's a thumbs up for me for a lot of reasons.
It also means money. If they end up going, the sponsorship available from an Olympic appearance, I don't think anyone's stupid on this, and they're attempting to grab a little bit more money that they're going to lose over the next little while. We've got to get going here, but the MLS is already in Orlando, and Omar Gonzalez of TFC tweeted out a picture of his lunch today. The MLS return to play in the bubble in Orlando. He got a sandwich at lunch. It was a roast beef sandwich on what looked like a pumpernickel rye bread with a banana and a small potato salad. Beside his post of the picture, which looks okay, was also the price list and the options available for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. According to his post, this sandwich cost him $65. That's right, $65. If Sid Sixero pays $65 and gets that sandwich, what does he do?
Am I in Disney World or am I somewhere else?
I
in Disney World with Omar Gonzalez? This is important because I find Mickey Mouse and we have words. That's the first thing I do. And I say, I didn't understand the menu was also Mickey Mouse. Do you know Thank you.
We have to tweet out the image right now because apparently we're having some technical difficulties for those watching on TV. But you can hit our Twitter account at Tim and Sid. It's already up there and have a look at the pumpernickel sandwich.
Do you know the damage I can do in Mary Brown's chicken with $65 American? Do you have any idea what I could do to that store? It would be like Richard Pryor in Brewster's Millions. I would be a god in there. This is, and we'll show the picture eventually. For those watching on TV, our apologies. We'll get you this photo. This is a travesty. And by the way, Tim, the NBA players better not see this. This might be a good thing for Disney. Because if the NBA players saw this first, look out. Hell to pay. People get fired left and right. That's a travesty. $65. Ridiculous.
Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet coming up next. We've also got Mark Spears on the slate and Shy TV. Will the Jays eventually have a home? We'll ask Shai Davidi. But coming up next, Donovan Bennett, our old friend, stops by. We'll talk about the Raptors' return to play and get into a bunch of different things because he's got a lot of jobs right now. This is Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360. It's the Sportsnet family of channels. This is Tim and Sid on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet 360. Still to come, Mark Spears will join us, as will Shai Davidi. We'll talk about the NBA hub city in Orlando, Florida. That's right, Orlando, Florida. And we'll also see whether or not the Jays will be in Dunedin, Florida for long.
Hopefully not. Dunedin, Florida. Donovan Bennett joining us. So many things to talk about with Donovan Bennett. Donovan, good to see you.
Good to see you. Is it our favorite game show? 1-800-DIAL-NEGRO?
It's not. I don't know why you would lead with that. I don't know. I was going to lead with the sandwich that Omar Gonzalez of TSC got today. That's literally what I was going to lead with.
We're not
allowed to talk to our friend anymore, Donovan.
The Wakanda borough chief, you mean? For Bubba Wallace and Jussie Smollett, press one. For the Rooney Rule, press two. What's going on? Nothing. I'm happy to see you guys finally once again. You were depriving Canada of this face and this fade, and I'm glad we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, you're going high top, Faith. Wow. By the way, the people on radio have no idea what you're talking about, so you can continue to say
people
that.
People on radio, he looks terrible, just so you know. Yeah. None of this correlates.
Is that the Kendall Gill that you're rocking right now? Like, where are you going with this thing? Is that you've obviously seen a barber because the sides, the fade is fresh, but the top, what's going on?
Listen, there may or may not be people in my family, my brother, who had been booking spots with a barbershop for months in advance, just in case it opened up. Thank you, Mr. Ford, that he could get a lineup real quick. It was really, really ugly, let's be honest. I looked like a hostage at some points during the last couple months, so I'm glad to be back to my normal, cleanly shaven, faded out self.
You're not Freed, you're Michael Grange. Take it easy.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but I have some self-esteem. I wasn't going to go that low.
Went today. Barber. First time. And? Didn't know what to expect. It was good. I
couldn't even tell. Oh, now you can tell. There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
You asked for the...
Shut up,
Jake. You asked for the Cabriolet?
I asked for the Cabriolet? You mean a guy who played professionally, unlike yourself? Yes, I'll take the Cabriolet. Yes.
Speaking of guys who play professionally, one man who was once called a fraud scored his 700th goal, a Panenka, if you will. Do you have anything to say to soccer fans around the world and the country of Argentina?
Fraud.
Messi. Messi got his 700th. Congratulations. Yeah, no, they're not going to beat Atletico, but whatever. As long as Messi gets his stats. Congratulations. That's okay. Real Madrid
Messi, the championship. The stat chaser, Messi. That's the one of the group that is.
All right. Biggest ball hog I've ever seen in my life, Mikhail. You know I'm right. You don't even want to. You're going to tell me off air I'm right, but not right now. That's fine.
The host of Free Association Sports on Pause, among other things. He's got a few jobs. Donovan Bennett joining us here on Tim and Sid. Let's combine the two that I just mentioned. Do you think that the NBA's return to play is in jeopardy of not being played?
I forgot that I was Amon family and I had so many jobs until you mentioned it. So thank you.
Solid in living color 20-year-old reference. Attaboy. You're not as young as you used to be.
No.
It's true. You're old and you're a dad and stuff. Good point, though.
Yeah. It has to be in jeopardy, doesn't it? Like, so when we did this the first time, when we were inching closer to March Madness and we were going to have fan bases from all across North America really flying to these different sites to play in venues, we all kind of at the office, and I think Thomas Dobby, super producer, was the first alarmist to be like, there's no way this is happening, right? Like, at some point, we are going to find Jesus or find common sense. In many ways, I look at this the same way. I understand when you created the 113-page, I believe, document, that Orlando was not just a good place. It was one of the best places, that the WWE was there and they were doing great. But that's not the case now. It's in fact, the opposite. On the weekend, I'm scrolling through Twitter looking at Karen's Gone Wild trending because people in Arizona, in Texas, in Florida are going nuts because they're, I don't know, being asked to wear a mask at a Trader Joe's. That's what's going on south of the border, specifically in the South. So if you tell me that you're going to take a bunch of basketball teams and have them there for 3 to 4 months, and the people who are going to be serving them, who are going to be helping them, aren't going to be in this biosphere, this bubble, this quarantine situation. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anyone could look at that and say that it's a good idea. Maybe basketball's plan is the best plan, but all these plans are flawed the way the United States is right now.
Donovan Bennett here on Tim and Sid. And part of the news cycle of the day, Woj tweeted out earlier today, the Denver Nuggets facility has been closed since Saturday due to a rash of positive tests. They're hoping to open it by this weekend. DJ, I got to say, I'm seeing everything that's going on here. The Brooklyn Nets, like they won't be able to field an NBA Jam team for a tournament at this current rate. Like they're losing players left and right. What you're hearing, though, out of Fort Myers and the Raptors, like Alex Oxero here on the radio side on Sportsnet 590, the fans played the clip from Nick Nurse a couple of times. He is very happy with the shape guys were in when they came in, both physically and mentally. And the Raptors have that pro feel to them. I want to see this happen for a lot of reasons, like the rest of us, but mainly to watch the Raptors shut a lot of people down. Because they've been overlooked the entire time again. And based on everything you're hearing, they mean some business.
Yeah, I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. You could be a Raptors fan and really excited about their prospects, but also look at the rest of the world and think, is this an essential service? But when they are playing, we all are going to watch and cover and cheer. And you mentioned the term pro. I actually see them more like a collegiate team where they listen to whatever their coach says all of the time, and they have a great chemistry about them. Who else could say, yeah, we're going to go box and one in the finals? I know we haven't done it before, but yeah, let's try it against a bunch of Hall of Famers. Who else in the regular season has guys picking up teams full court when they're down 20 and 25? Who else can just change the starting lineup? Nobody really cares. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Chris Boucher gets minutes in crunch time. Nobody blinks an eye. O'Shea Brissett comes out of nowhere with big plays. Nobody is like, I'm the big dog. I need to eat. And so in what is going to be a mental exercise more than a physical one in terms of dealing with the fact that the guy who is your shooting coach didn't make the trip and you're going to have to work out with someone else, I think the Raptors, because they are even keel all the time and they listen to whatever their organization and their head coach says, I think they're in a great spot to win this mental attrition over the next 3 or 4 months, because their standard is no ego from Jump Street. So I actually like them better now in this glorified AAU season than I would if it was just a normal regular season.
Well, when you look at the favorites in Vegas, they seemingly still have the Los Angeles Lakers on top. I thought Avery Bradley was a pretty big blow to the Lakers, and J.R. Smith in a bubble should just be a reality series from Jump. But do we have any idea who the favorites really should be? Like, the favorites set up in Vegas are who they're going to get money on. That's the way they do it. That's a smart way to do it. But if you were to say what's the best, I don't want to say best value, but what's the best value out there?
Best value is that at some point, J.R. Smith is going to throw soup at somebody, right? The soup is not going to be served to him because we're doing, you know, social distancing. He's going to have to go
based
get his
soup.
Based
on the menu I saw today, you're lucky to get soup in Orlando. That's a delicacy. Are you kidding me?
I'll give you two answers. I think the Lakers still are a good bet and good value only because you're telling LeBron James, who spends $1 million on his body anyways, and who has the exact replica of the training facility at El Segundo in terms of the workouts, he has the exact replica in his house. So his home quarantine workouts were not like yours and I's. They were the exact same as they normally were. And you're telling him he just has this sprint to another chip? I like those odds. And I also like the fact, and we know how LeBron thinks, imagine he wins the Larry O'Brien or he gets the Bill Russell MVP and he can make a statement. Maybe he puts a black fist up in the air. Maybe he gives a speech about why it's important that you vote. I think that he is using this opportunity in a way to cement his legacy because he's not catching Jordan. But maybe he could be the Ali of this time. And so I do think he's intrinsically motivated in a different way. Although I will say this, I would love, love, love money on the Raptors. Because what are the questions we had about them? Health. Kyle Lowry, top five in minutes again. He always breaks down at the end of the year. He's been on ice for a minute. Gasol, is his hamstring going to be okay? It's on a thread. My guy came back and he's skinny, Gasol. He's thin Spain now. He's not big Spain. Pascal Siakam, this is a new load, more minutes and harder minutes as the number one option. Well, he's been resting for a minute. So I actually think the fact that they were professional, Sydney, but that they got some real, real recreational rest gives them a leg up in a way that I don't think is the same for other teams when we're really not sure what guys have been doing for the last couple of months.
Donovan Bennett here on Tim and Sid. Donovan, before we let you go, we said in jest a couple of times, you work a lot. You do a lot, but you're doing a lot of great stuff. And we just want to kind of let it shine here for a second. You're the host of Proud Virtually. LGBTQ figures from around the sporting world are focused on the sportsnet.ca. You have an essay coming out in maybe a couple hours. Update us on when that's coming out for Canada Day, voiced by yourself. Talk about both and what was the experience like on both sides?
Yeah, well, you use the term host because I fronted it, but it was certainly a team effort in terms of Proud Virtually. And Stefan, the super producer, it was his vision and his execution. And, I mean, we don't really talk about the process of coming out for athletes, right? It's layered. We're talking a lot about privilege and power in this moment. Well, it's a privilege as a straight athlete to not think about your sexuality, to not think about how you're being viewed, what it means if you come out. But we also know that athletes, they're best when they're bringing their authentic selves. And think about the fact that in North America right now, we don't have a present player in the top four leagues who's out. And we know by math that that's certainly not the case. There are people part of the LGBTQ plus community that are in sports. So I wanted to talk to these athletes who are out now about what that coming out process was and how it helped them both personally, but in their production in their sport. And in terms of the essay, it's dropping tomorrow morning. Again, it's my voice, but it's the visuals of Tom Stewart, Adrian Chetty, and Graham Campbell. And we talk about, and you've got the flag behind you, Timmy, Canada in this country and how we rally together. We the North, 2 million strong for the repping for the Raptors. And I love that. And I want to celebrate that tomorrow for Canada Day. But that's a standard that we need to meet more often. If we can raise record numbers, the highest amount of money raised was for Humboldt by our country, then we should be able to do that for the missing and murdered Indigenous women. We should be able to do that for the LGBTQ plus community. 2 million at a parade for the Raptors? Imagine we had 2 million at Pride parades. So the essay was, sports has shown us in this country how powerful we are when we really care. Okay, well, let's keep it 100. Let's keep it real. Let's really care about everybody.
Agreed. I wish we had more time to discuss that, but we have plumb run out of time, and we'll have to leave it there. But 1-800.
1-800, dial a Negro.
I'll leave it. I'll step back.
For Power 5 conferences and how they deal with race, press 3.
Power 5 conferences. That'll be a whole new NCAA by the time we're done all this. Don't worry about that.
Is there a button for how Randy McCauley is my favorite Western running back? Is there a button for that, Paige? That's how you shut DJ.
I don't think so. Nope. Thanks, DJ. Good to see you. When we come back, we will
don't look set at me that way.
Shy Davidi. Shy Davidi of Sportsnet. We're in the hell of the Jays coming back to Canada. And Mark Spears on the Hub City and what we might see in Orlando. That's coming up right here on Tim and Sid. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet 360. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Shy Davidi is going to join us in the 6 o'clock Eastern hour. Will the Jays ever get to Toronto? We'll ask him. And will the NBA ever get to Orlando? We'll ask Mark Spears, who will join us just after 6:20 Eastern, 3:20 Pacific, if you do the math. Sid Sixero, though, while we're talking about Mark Spears, some interesting quotes coming out of an Adam Silver interview with Time that seemingly took place earlier today.
Yeah, and there's some, it's starting some separate fires, so to speak, to me. Like, you know what that term kind of means, right? In our business, when you do an interview and there are quotes that get you going on a couple of fronts, you know it was a pretty good interview. So there's a couple here, Tim. The broad one that I saw to start the cavalcade of quotes from Adam Silver was, mm-hmm. Adam Silver said to Time Magazine, he himself is not going to quarantine in Orlando. There is going to be a way where the commissioner of the NBA, a man who is asking a lot of people to quote-unquote hunker down for the sake of the chip, said as commissioner, he will kind of duck out through the back door in a way and still conduct commissioner business elsewhere. That's one thing that kind of stuck out to me. And if you're a player, how do you process that? So that's my first question on the table to you, Tim. Second quote I saw. And I'll give Sean Gregory credit from Time. He's the one who conducted the interview. Sean Gregory also asked Adam Silver about national anthems. The question was, will players be allowed to kneel during the national anthem with all of the social injustice talk that has happened and all the protests? We're all aware of where we stand here. Will players be allowed to kneel during the national anthem? Adam Silver said this, quote, Again, I'm not comfortable with the word allow. We've had a rule in our books that goes back to the early 80s that precedes even David Stern's tenure as commissioner that calls for players to stand in a line at attention during the national anthem. I also understand the role of protest, and I think that we'll deal with that situation when it presents itself. End quote. I didn't hear an out-and-out support of players there, unless I'm not reading between lines enough, Timmy. Where do you want to start on that? Or is there another quote that I've missed from this interview that's just lighting up right now with Adam Silver?
Add one more.
Go ahead.
I'll add one more.
Go ahead.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. We have a panel of scientists, doctors, experts that are working with us. Certainly, if we have a lot of cases, we're going to stop. You cannot run from this virus. So listen, we all understand. I think we all understand why leagues are being so vague about what number will cause a stoppage, because they have no idea. They don't Correct. Know what they're getting into. And this is another example of a league saying, we're not going to say anything until we know, and we don't know, but when we get there, we'll probably know. And that's been the latest from every league, but Adam Silver is the first one to say that it could stop the season if they have many a positive or blank many positives, and that becomes news. Sometimes that pisses me off, because we all knew that if they had several cases break out,
what you mean, like the obvious becomes news? Yeah. Like that's what pisses you off? Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
That's it. To me, it seems remarkably obvious for all leagues that Correct. This will happen. But as soon as someone says it, it becomes news. And that's the only other thing. And if you search Silver right now, you'll get the rest. Listen, the one thing that I respect about Adam Silver is that he listens to the players. And I think that if the players want something tangible done, Adam Silver has proven in the past that he will attempt to facilitate that. Whether that means someone kneeling, whether that means something on the court like we're hearing right now, that Black Lives Matter may be printed on the court, whether it means something more tangible long term. Because while it's nice to have Black Lives Matter on the court, you want to see a real difference made beyond the statements. And that's what a lot of people have been talking about over the last month, is do something beyond the statement. The statement is nice. That's the baby step. But then do something a little bit more tangible. And from the past, I have seen Adam Silver do things that were tangible. And that's what I'm more interested in than the argument over whether or not or how many people will be kneeling for the national anthem, because we know that becomes some sort of polarizing topic for some.
It's just interesting. I'm with you, Tim, on what the actual issue is. This quote is interesting because people are going to parse it in a very severe way, because it doesn't read great. It's I would love to have seen the video of it.
There
but
is
it
video.
Just read. Oh, there is video.
Look, yeah, there is video. It's coming. It's coming out. I'm just seeing some of it right now.
Even better. But you're right in terms of, like, what else are you going to do? And it's not even about. And I don't think you're referring to just throwing money at specific groups either, Tim. I don't think you're suggesting that either. Like tangible change. Like, what's the NBA going to do?
It may mean throwing money at groups. It may mean...
But it's also about organizing. It's also about getting people registered to vote. It's also about... And don't get me wrong, that takes money. Like, there are groups that do that every day, or try to do that every day, that need money. But I agree with you. No, it's not... Kneeling is an issue that matters, but it's not the end-all in this discussion about getting to a place we want to be, and more has to be done. More has to be done.
Right. And it's a form of protest. And if you can actually address the things that you're attempting to protest, I believe that gets you further down the road
Correct.
That you're attempting to walk down. Our old friend John Shannon, reiterating what I've been saying for the last couple of days, all indications pointing to a made in Canada for the hubs. Wow. Among other things, the increased virus cases in 36 states have Edmonton and Toronto as the favorites for the hub cities for the NHL.
And Nevada. what's happening there isn't helping either, specifically.
Well, I think Las Vegas is done. If you listen to reports, Vegas is done.
I think you're right. It's amazing.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not Toronto has the appetite for both a hub city and the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll discuss that, among other things, in the final hour of Tim and Sid, right here on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. This is Tim and Sid welcoming those watching on Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. Glad to have you along. Just know, full 2 hours, Monday to Friday, except for tomorrow, because we got the day out. You know what I'm saying?
Happy
birthday, Canada!
By the pool!
Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, all have the full 2 hours for your enjoyment each and every day, Monday to Friday, most weeks. Still to come, Shai Davidi on if the Jays will make it to Toronto, and Mark Spears on if the NBA will make it to Orlando. But the stories of the day at this hour include an NHL return to the Olympics, the NHL hub cities being chopped down to four with rumors of either an all-Canadian Edmonton-Toronto hub city mix or a Toronto-Chicago, depending on who you listen to. Also, Adam Silver doing an interview with Time Magazine that has ruffled a few feathers for a couple of different reasons, one of which he says he won't be quarantining with the team in Orlando. Where would you like to start on all that before we bring Shai Davidi into the conversation, Sid?
And an amendment to the headlines, Tim, maybe just a headline in my world. I did manage, and you don't know this, I managed to do a trick shot for Snowy video. I have not posted it yet. I might do it later tonight. I'm a little self-conscious about it. There's been some great ones. Okay. I need to talk it through it. Wait, let me try that again. I need to talk to you about it, English. At some point this hour, because I'm a little self-conscious. I want to do it. It's a good cause. I just don't know if it's that good. So,
well, then don't worry about it and just do it.
Just post it.
I'm going to tell you right now. Just do it. I'm going to try and you know that I showed you some video of me attempting my trick shot for Snowy,
which I enjoyed greatly. By the way, it was pretty good.
We're going to try and finish it off tomorrow on Canada Day, and if not, if I can't end up finishing, I'll just post all of the outtakes, which might be better than the actual post.
Good.
Either way.
It's pretty good.
I got an interesting tweet from Sean Collins, and I wonder if this is shared by many, because we were surprised yesterday when we put up a poll at Tim and Sid. Would you be willing to welcome the NHL in a hub city and Major League Baseball playing their regular season, meaning having teams go in and out of your city? Would you be willing to have both of those in your city? And the responses were the majority to, yeah, I'm okay with that. And we understood we were talking to sports fans, so you'd probably get a higher number than the general population. But I'm not speaking out of turn here when I say that you were surprised by that result.
Stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Sean wrote earlier today at Tim and Sid and said, rooting for Canadian hub cities, not because of financial reward or recognition, but because I think it's the safest path for the players and staff to finish the season, and I love hockey. And it was to the point and probably right. Like, if you are trying to get the safest return to play for hockey, you're probably looking, because right now it's Chicago, LA, Toronto, and Edmonton, if you are to believe the reports, and there have been a bunch of different reports on this, so you don't have to believe the reports. And from what I'm hearing, Edmonton and Toronto are the two favorites right now. But if you want the safest, right now that's Edmonton and Toronto.
Tim, and I'm not saying this. Look, you and I have talked about a lot of negative stuff over the last 3.5 months, not because we could help it. And I'm not putting this out there to be alarmist or anything along the lines. But in terms of what you are talking about with me, two Canadian hub cities, why that makes sense. Dr. Anthony Fauci today sat in front of the U.S. Senate and said, recorded, said, the states at current pace could hit 100,000 deaths per day. He said that. You have to get the hell out of the states. If you're the National Hockey League, NBA's made their bet. The National Hockey League has a choice. But that's not even, once you get to the hubs, you're fine. The risk is still the training camps. Mm-hmm. Same with Major League Baseball and their summer camp idea, which I hate the name of. But the real risk is still all these training camps that are happening. Once you get to the hub, I agree with was it Sean that tweeted in? I agree with Sean.
Yeah.
Get them into those hubs, and I think they can work that out. That makes mathematical sense to me. But you got to get there. You got to get through that next month or 4 or 5 weeks. That's what I'm a little worried about. But in terms of his theory with the hub, I'm with him. I agree with him completely.
The unfortunate part of this for the general population is the truth is the safest part of Florida will be the hub in Orlando.
Yeah.
No matter how unsafe or safe you determine it to be, it will still be safer than the rest of Florida.
Right. Tim, let me peel that back a little bit. I mentioned 100,000 deaths a day. That's not something I need to screw up. 100,000 cases per day. That's what he actually said. I just want to get that straight. Still
maybe
not good.
Maybe
still
I should
not
listen
good.
To you more often. 100,000 cases per day.
Cases per day.
And to be fair to all of this, the number of deaths per day hasn't spiked to go along with the cases per day, and that's why you see some of the acceptance from states, but you're seeing also the pulling back because they realize that if ICU beds start filling up and you don't have space for anyone, then those deaths end up spiking again, right. And you're back where you started, which is what we were worried about, I don't know, a week and a half ago? Like, yep. When did we start saying this is probably going to happen?
It was before the cluster in Clearwater at Phillies camp and Amalie Arena. English is not my strong suit today. Amalie Arena in Tampa, like a couple Fridays back. I believe it was before then. And I'm not just saying that to pat anyone on the back. But it was about that time.
Looking at numbers and saying you're jeopardizing seasons.
Yep.
Because these numbers aren't going down. They were going up. And finally, Vinny writes in and says, just wondering if you guys could do a 6-hour Canada Day parade tomorrow. Question. Commercial free?
Jackass. Good line. Commercial free. No. Nothing. 40 minutes of commercials per hour, Tim. Let's sell that. Let's flip it up. Right. All right. So that's kind of where we're at with the Hub City National Hockey League setup. We've talked already in the show about the NBA. We've talked a little about baseball. Let's talk some more about baseball. The Jays are currently in Dunedin. No one has a clue when they're coming up, including the Jays. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet is joining us. Shai, great to talk to you, man. This is, look, the last 3.5 months have been surreal. But if you're the Jays, this is getting extra surreal.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of bad words used in relation to describe the situation. But it is completely surreal. I mean, you think about what 29 other teams are doing right now. They're essentially getting ready for spring training. And the Blue Jays are trying to get ready for spring training, but not sure where they're going to be working out, where they're going to be playing the regular season, where they're going to be settling. Nobody knows where to sort of put down any sort of roots right now. And so that's a pretty difficult state of being when you know that you've got to hit the ground running and every day is crucial because you're already working with a truncated training schedule to get ready for the season. So certainly difficult times, frustrating times, for a lot of people, and you know that's not even factoring in the additional pressures that you face because of health risks caused by COVID-19.
Shai Davidi joining us here on Tim and Zid. Do you think eventually they will get up to Canada?
I mean, you know, there was a lot of optimism. I've talked to a couple different experts, and you know, one of them thinks that their plan is totally feasible and poses no risk to or minimal risk to public health. Another thinks that there's no way that it should happen. You know, I mean, sure, I think that there's a case to be made for it. But, you know, I listened to Dr. Teresa Tam give her update yesterday, and it really struck me how often she pointed to the fragility of our containment of the pandemic down up here, right? And, you know, she didn't directly say, look what's happening in the United States, but she was kind of pointing, like, you know, if we don't keep this under wraps, right, we're going to be we don't want to be the United States. You know, it's a cautionary tale that is becoming more and more tragic by the day. And there's a lot of understandable wariness about opening the borders to this plan. So do I think it'll ultimately get done? I honestly don't know. I don't want to put myself in the shoes of government officials. I know there was a lot of optimism. I know some people thought it was pretty much all but done at the end of last week over the weekend. And now everybody's a little bit more uncertain about it.
Shai Davidi here on Tim and Sid. Shai, as Tim brought up earlier in the show, Ryan Zimmerman, he's a no-go. Joe Ross, also of the Nationals, a no-go. Mike Leake of the Diamondbacks, he will not be going forward with this season. Ian Desmond of the Rockies last night with a long post detailing why he is not going. Have you caught wind at all of any member of the Jays who seriously thought about not reporting to Dunedin for obviously a lot of reasons, either their health reasons, just psychological reasons about going to Florida in this moment where it's a worse spot for COVID-19 than Europe, all of Europe? Did you catch wind of any of that?
From a player, no, but I've heard some unease from others about going in Florida. I don't know about to the point of not reporting, but certainly people not wanting to be in Florida. And I mean, you can really understand that, and you can understand why. You know, this is a tough spot. I really feel for you know, coaches, support staff, employees, you know, up and down the organization, because, and not just for the Blue Jays, for anybody, because I think it's tougher for a lot of those people to say no if they're not feeling uncomfortable. You know, their job status, you know, they're a lot more replaceable than a player, right? You know, players have certain rights, and there's only so many of them who are capable of playing at the big league level. Whereas with coaches and support staff, you know, there's not the same supply and demand. So I think that they're in a really difficult spot. I feel for some people who are concerned about, you know, their health status or their family situation, whatever it may be. And, you know, I think that there's going to be a lot of people like that across the game who are going into this pretty concerned about it and, you know, crossing their fingers and really hoping for the best.
I might be going a little bit backwards here, but I have to ask about the quarantine situation in Toronto as it relates to teams if they were going to play their home games at home. Is it your understanding that opponents would be confined to the hotel at the Rogers Center and the field and the facilities? Is that part of the plan that the Jays had to present to the federal and local health authorities?
So I don't know the specific details, but conceptually, yes, that's essentially what it is, right? And so, you know, the Quarantine Act says basically you got to go home, shelter for 14 days, right? Mm-hmm. And be isolated. And the vision of this plan is essentially that the umbrella is expanded a little bit and you can go to the field and back, right? And the field is attached to the hotel. You're really not going outdoors. Your contact with the wider community is limited, if not essentially zero. So that would be the theory of it. But, you know, the Quarantine Act is quite robust in terms of what it the powers it gives for punishment. You know, it could be a fine up to $750,000. There's jail time attached to it for violations. You know, this isn't something that you can be flouted. And I think that the government would be looking at it and saying, well, we have to be really careful in terms of who we're doling out special privileges to. So, you know, that's all part of this mix. But, you know, I think conceptually the plan would seem to make sense. It would be reliant on teams being essentially 100% on board with it and adhering to it to that degree. And, you know, it could potentially work if you get 100% compliance. But, you know, as we're seeing in all sports, you know, that doesn't necessarily happen with athletes. And I think that is playing part of a role in some of the reluctance.
Shai Davidio, Sports in here on Tim and Sid. Shai, how big of an issue, I mean, there are a lot of issues. How big of an issue, if you're the Canadian federal government, is the fact that the Jays also, let's get to the regular season. Let's assume we get to that point. The Jays do not have jurisdiction over how the visiting team controls their quarantine. How much of a stickler is that?
Yeah, I mean, well, essentially, there's a couple layers, right? So there's the MLB protocol, which covers all 30 teams, right? It's 113 pages. I've read through much of the document. It is substantial and thorough. So there's that. Now, the Blue Jays essentially have created like an additional protocol for themselves and for other clubs over and above that, which I would presume that other teams would have to agree to follow when they arrive here for games against the Blue Jays. Then further to that, the protocol says that each team is responsible for creating its own code of conduct for how you are to behave once you're away from the field in terms of what you can do, who you can see, you know, can you go home? Can you, how many family members you can visit, stuff like that. So that's the final factor. So, you know, when you say, you know, the Blue Jays don't have sort of jurisdiction over other teams, I think that's where you can have a little bit of gray. But again, I haven't seen the details, so it's 100%. But my understanding of the concept is that players would not be able to just go out at night after a game and, you know, head out to a patio and hang out and then come back to the hotel. You know, essentially, you'd be doing your quarantine at the hotel in the dome. And the exception would be that rather than being confined just to your room, the confinement includes the dome as well.
And a lot of these things obviously are changing day by day. We heard Jim Crane say that he wanted to have fans in the stands in Houston, and then Houston's top doctor just told ESPN that he wouldn't be adverse to shutting things down and telling the Astros to go find somewhere else to play if cases continued to spike in the city. So everything changes day by day, and staying on top of this is a near a full-time job, and we've been attempting to do this. But I want to move on, Shai, to the Jays actual roster, because that's some of the fun stuff here. And we had 58 names on a list, and I heard in Mark Shapiro's voice when he spoke to us last week that we might get some names that would make a smile, but were there any surprises to you on that list?
Well, I wouldn't say surprises, but you know, I just wasn't sure how many of their lower levels of the minor league prospects they would include. But you know, Jordan Groshans was there, Alec Manoah was there, Simeon Woods Richardson was there, Alejandro Kirk was there. You know, these are some guys who, in all likelihood, weren't going to factor into the big league club this year. You know, barring some sort of substantial and really unlikely set of circumstances. And, you know, that's a sizable number when you're thinking that, you know, when you're putting together this roster, you have to think we are both having to prepare ourselves to have enough depth to survive a season in which an outbreak could knock out a handful of players at any given time, as well as, you know, trying to ensure that some of your key young players are still getting some type of development of this season, because this is with the minor league season being officially canceled today. This is really it. This is what those kids are getting. So, you know, that's a lot to balance with this roster and to try and achieve. And, you know, I thought those number, you know, getting all those kids on was from that standpoint, a pretty good result for the Blue Jays. They've retained a little bit of room too to potentially add Austin Martin, their first round pick, if he signs. And you know, I wonder. I think now that Spencer Torkelson, the number one overall pick, has signed, that we may see things move with Austin Martin in the coming days. So, you know, I think by and large, there's a good balance there that the Blue Jays managed to achieve.
And, Shai, call me crazy, but in a situation like this where you're only playing 60 games, I mean, a young player could make an impact in this summer camp, could he not? Like, or should we rule anything out? I know it's a long shot for a few of these kids. I understand that, but you need to take the arms or the bats that look the best, right? Like, you can't edge your way into April here and then see what you got. Like, I think if I'm a young player, I'm thinking I can make an impression here, and I can make an impression fairly quickly.
Sure, I mean, for one of those, if we're talking about like Jordan Groshans, Alex Manoah, Simeon Woods, Richardson of the world, you know, that leap. I mean, these
it's
guys.
A it's a big one. It's a big one.
I mean, you know, only one of them's been in high A. The other guys have barely played in low A. And Jordan Groshans, you know, barely had a month in low A before he got injured. You know, to suddenly say, okay, we're going to slot you into the big leagues and start your service time clock and expect you to contribute in this weird structured season. I just can't see any team in the right mind doing that, just because, you know, it's potentially damaging developmentally. It's certainly damaging from a roster standpoint, and you're just not getting enough of a return. You know, so the one scenario I could maybe see, like, say the Blue Jays are in contention, there's like a week or two to go, and you know, you need like a big arm to give you some relief outs, and you know, Alec Manoah is throwing the hell out of the ball at the alternative training site in Buffalo. You know, I could see maybe you could talk yourself into that. But beyond that, you know, this is going to be about hitting the ground running, and you're going to want your, I think, you know, the bulk of your reps going to some guys who have some experience and who are better prepared to hit the ground running.
This is a yes or no, because we've run out of time, and it's a juicy yes or no. Does Nate Pearson start on the Jays roster when they play game one?
Juicy.
Yes. Yes. And short statement I'll add to that. If he's not on the roster, it could not be a more blatant example of service time manipulation, because there is just no developmental case that you can make that says, yeah, he's better off at the alternative training site, playing intra-squad games as opposed to pitching games, big league.
No, but like, he's going to get sore shoulder at the end of summer camp. Oh, sore shoulder. Gone 10 days. That's all we're talking about, right? That's all we're talking about.
I like
about.
The answer.
I mean, you can't even pretend on this one. Like, you know, at the end of the first spring training, I could have honestly made a case for it and said, okay,
right.
I can see it. Like, this is just, like, I mean,
there's nowhere to go. Nowhere to go.
Yeah, like, you can't make that case.
Always good catching up with you. Stay well. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
You fellas, too. Take care.
All right. There is Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. We got to hit the break. When we come back, is the NBA going to Orlando? What will they do once they get to Orlando? Mark Spears, ESPN, and the Undefeated, our old friend, will join us next right here on Tim and Sid on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And across the Sportsnet family of channels. One day away from our 5-year anniversary. Back on television, this is Tim and Sid, coast to coast to coast. Thursday, on these very stations that you are listening to and or watching us, we will bring you the best of Tim and Sid over those 5 years. And I've been told there's something special that has been pre-recorded for our viewing and listening pleasure. I haven't been told exactly what that means and what it is, but it's a surprise for both Sydney and I on what will be our 5-year anniversary back on television. Although we were on television,
kind
on the radio before that. And then there were never really left, and we had a podcast and all these different things.
But we were
There was a bunch of people who jumped back on
Super Real TV, Tim. We went on Super Real.
But there's a bunch of people who jumped back on our bandwagon 5 years ago, and they would like to celebrate that. We'll do that on Thursday right here on Tim and Sid.
Anytime, and no time like the present to jump on a good bandwagon. By the way, Tim, I thought your punchline was going to be, I'm told we have a best of for the show Thursday. It's 2 minutes long. That's where I thought you were going with that.
No, I was told it was 5 minutes long.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Mark Spears of ESPN has been a dear, dear friend of this show, whether it's just radio, radio and TV, back to TV, radio. Doesn't matter what this show is. Right. Spearsy has been there for us, and he joins us now. Spears, what's going on, man? We've been doing this for like 5 years. We've been talking to you for longer, but we've been on TV for 5 years. Are you surprised we've made it that long?
I'm surprised you guys haven't, crossed over the border and got your show down here, man. I'm trying to make I want y'all to be a worldwide phenomenon.
Man,
worldwide,
but I can't,
Tim and Sid. Forget World Wide West.
That's like, right.
I can't run. I can't have like Mina Kimes schedule. Like, you know me.
Global.
Like, I'm lazy. Like, I can't.
We,
you don't think we? Do you think we'd make it in the States?
I want them to know your name in Bangladesh.
How do you know they don't know our name?
They don't.
That's probably right. By the way, that Mark Spears, for those who weren't following his Twitter account earlier today, was tweeting during the Manchester United game against Brighton Hove Albion, a team whose name I can't ever pronounce. And that Mason Greenwood kid is pretty good. Seriously. Pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. He did a crossover dribble with a soccer ball, man. It looked like he was dancing salsa. And he, that teenager is going to be special. I just wish he played for Arsenal.
Well, then he wouldn't be any good. My apologies. That's not the right tone to set.
You owe me one. You owe me one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
It's true.
He does, simply for the thing that may or may not show up in the five-year anniversary video.
It'll show up.
Where Spearsy's talking about Six Arrows Grade 8 picture.
We're on the phone right now.
I was watching a little ESPN this morning, and there seemed to be some worry now that baseball and basketball might not be able to pull this off with the spikes in coronavirus in Florida, specifically as it pertains to the NBA. From what you're hearing, is there a chance that this doesn't even get off the ground?
Oh, I mean, I think there's always a chance, but I think it does. Because they got their own environment. That's the difference between baseball and football. The fact that they can pretty, for the most part, control their environment is a huge deal. Like, you can't just show up. You have to be invited there. You have to wear a mask. Like, I've read all the rules, man. And it's like, you got to eat meals in your room. You have to get tested every day. If you're not in your room, you have to wear a mask. It's like not for, it's not like these memes. It's not for discussion. You have to wear a mask wherever you go. So the rules in this bubble, I think, to me, it has a possibility of being the safest place on earth, or at least in the United States, you know, not the earth, but because it's just, it's a controlled environment, whereas baseball and football is kind of like the honor system. You know, like, I don't know what these dudes are doing in their free time, and then they're going to be traveling up and down, you know, each coast of the country playing each other. You just don't know what they're doing, at least in the NBA standpoint. You know the environment they're in. They can't leave. They can't go anywhere. Even when, like, the media that's coming in, you have to quarantine for a week before you go in. When the Raptors, assume they do, make it to the second round, anybody from the players' families that are coming, girlfriends, whomever, they actually got to quarantine for a week before they allow them to come in, and then they're going to have to get tested on a daily basis. So, to me, the MLS, Go San Jose Earthquakes, and the NBA have the best environment. And, like, if this isn't going to work, nothing's going to work. To me, I think, and Dr. Fauci repeated this, the NBA probably has the best environment there is. So if that doesn't work, I feel bad for the other sports. Football, I just don't see it, you know.
I don't know how football's going to pull it off.
Especially
I'm
actually college football.
College especially, but I'm still just as shocked. The NFL, the closer we get to these specific dates, like training camp starting and whatnot, they don't look as organized as I thought they
would. Man, the ego the NFL has is amazing. Like, they just think it's just going to all come together. Baseball, at least, baseball is what, the only basically socially distant sport? So you're just more worried about what these guys are doing outside the stadium and actually in the stadium. I'm surprised in the Korean league like that, at least those, like, I've been wearing, have you guys tried those, like, construction masks? They're like sleeves.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like the hard cover ones, kind of?
Like it's long. It's like it covers your neck. Yeah. Where you could pull it up and pull it down. Like, baseball players always use their gloves to cover their face.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, they should all be wearing those when they're playing baseball. You know, I think those would be great. I think those would be great for football, too. I asked an NBA player why basketball players can't use it, and they told me somebody from the Kings tried it. They were just too sweaty. It just, they could have had a hard time breathing. But I think in sports like baseball and football, where, you know, you're not running up and down constantly, you can probably wear those sleeves, and perhaps those can be something that certainly can help prevent COVID.
They call them Snowden soccer, right?
And not feel as awkward as a mask. I'm sorry.
You got me, Tim. I'm trying to visualize it, and I'm not getting it.
You don't know
the first time.
Yeah, I think they call it a snood in soccer, and they've been wearing it for a while. Nike makes, like, I think Buffon wore one 6-0 when it's cold out there.
S-N-O-O-D. Let me just take a quick look at this here.
And I think that's what we're talking about here.
It's like a huge, yeah, oh yeah, it's like a, look like a ninja.
Yeah.
Right? You kind of look like.
Goes over your neck, and usually it's when it's cold weather.
Yeah, and I'm seeing those Nike ones
like
now.
Like, you see construction guys, construction folks wear them all the time. And actually, the first one I got was from a friend of mine who has a construction company out here. And I've kind of fallen in love with those ones. They're really, really comfortable. It's like just wearing a turtleneck. You know,
like it's 1995 all over again. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, or, you know, yeah, but I think those are, they're kind of like called dust masks. I don't know. Maybe one of the fans there can tell you what the name of them. But I think for sports, they could be a great thing to use that doesn't feel as awkward as look as awkward as, say, a typical mask, which shouldn't matter. But I think in the sports world, it's better to use this.
Mark Spears, the undefeated here on Tim and Sid. Go ahead, Timmy. Do you want to jump in? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, have you heard about any head coaches not showing up? It seems like this might become more prevalent, that the head coaches who are of advanced age might not feel as comfortable as the players.
I've seen Alvin Gentry say he's probably coming, but he hasn't said he's definitely coming. I think he does. But, I mean, if they got to look crazy, if they think it's looking crazy and wear the, not only just the mask, but the shield, they should wear it. I actually saw a guy jogging the other day with a mask and a shield on. And I'm sure he probably didn't get any cool points for it, but I understand, you know. So I do think another tough thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is just not being around your family members for that long.
Yeah.
You know, Fred VanVleet talked about it yesterday. Like, you're basically not going to see your family for at least 7 weeks after you've been spending all this time with them. So, especially when you have young kids, that can be very, very tough. And so I could actually see, assuming everything goes well, a story about a month and a half from now is about the emotion that takes place when everybody gets reunited with their loved ones. But that being said, I don't think the coaches and everybody else on the staff or even the media could have somebody come later. I think it's just the players that will be allowed to do that. So, you know, for the Raptors coaching staff, everybody's coaching staff, like, I think it's going to be tough, especially if you're there for the long haul.
What will J.R. Smith be like in isolation?
Trying to dig a hole under the hotel. sneak onto the outside.
Turns into Shawshank Redemption.
I'm sure there's going to be some interesting story there. I'm waiting for it, man. Like, somebody's going to test the limits of the place. But
let's go through the rule one time here for everyone. If someone does leave Orlando for whatever reason, either through hilarious circumstances or through more serious circumstances, when you come back, you got to self-isolate for 10 days and pass 2 COVID tests. That is in the 113 pages for the NBA. So we do know what would happen if someone came back, but I'm just curious how long JR will hold out.
JR's trying to keep his career alive, so it's always interesting to see how dudes act toward the end. So I actually expect him to be a model citizen, especially when he's coming under LeBron's recommendation.
But if he's got a poster up on his wall, watch out. The theme of the greatest civil rights movement of our generation is
any of his property.
You know what? With all due respect to that story, don't touch a man's car. Just don't do it. I don't care who you are. I was on J.R. Smith's side.
You didn't go to jail over that.
Why would you, man? But, don't touch a man's car. Don't touch a woman's car. Don't touch anyone's car. Keep your damn hands off the car.
He got a pass, and I bet you that guy hasn't messed with anybody else's car since.
No,
I think you're right.
I want to get this before we let you go. We have to let you go because we might run out of time here. But the theme of the greatest civil rights movement of our generation has been talked about a lot, and we've heard ideas about Black Lives Matter being printed on the floor. That's a good start. But I was raised in part by KRS-One, who once told me, Mark, that real bad boys move in silence. It was reiterated again by Biggie. And by others, how many things are in the works for real change that might not get the shine of, say, like a Get Up or a First Take because it's not polarizing or it's not as shiny as other things, but might actually lead to real change?
Well, I think in terms of the NBA, you're talking about an NBA standpoint?
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul and the rest of the players have a lot of things that they'd like to keep quiet, but it keeps getting leaked out. But, you know, even what they're putting on the back of the jerseys, which Chris is talking to me about, or what's going to be Black Lives Matter, they're like, there's going to be a ton of things. If you guys saw the BET Awards up there the other day, I mean, it was basically a three-hour Black Lives Matter social injustice forum. And I think that's going to be the thing with the NBA through the entire season, no matter if you're watching a game or seeing somebody on the bench or hearing somebody do an interview after the game or on an off day, like, it's constantly going to be mentioned. You're going to hear about it ad nauseum. If you ain't woke at the beginning of the season, you're going to be woke at the end of the season. I think there's just going to be constant messages, and it's the first time that I think the media is actually wanting to pay attention for the most part. That the consumer will be probably inundated with messages from hopefully Nike and such, who if you watch the BET Awards, like, all the commercials had that kind of like social theme to it. I think that's going to happen in the NBA. The NBA already came out with a PSA. I think there's going to be so many messages that even for the people with the coldest hearts, they're going to be forced to learn something before the season is over with. So I'm actually looking forward to the creativity, and I'm hearing some of the things that, like, different players are talking about putting on their jerseys, and Harrison Barnes said he wants something different on every jersey. But I think that by the end of the season, man, like, you still got players outside that could do things, that could protest, that could give awareness, but the ability to have the whole world watching all these games, like, to me, I don't think there's a bigger megaphone that they could use to give their message than that.
Spearsy, this was fun. It's great to talk to you. Really appreciate it. And in all seriousness, hey, again, because tomorrow's a kind of a significant date for Tim and myself, we love you. We appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you.
Hey, man. Hey, congratulations, man. There's been a lot of shows that's been canceled. And y'all still here, Hoff. So,
it's true.
You know, you... go get a cold one, social distance, and celebrate that. Be proud of that, man. I ain't got no damn show.
We will be We will, because it's Canada Day.
You guys are my role models. I'm trying to be like you one day.
Stop it. Stop it.
Happy Canada Day and five-year anniversary with us.
Yeah, man. Love y'all. Thank you for having me on the show. And I look forward to celebrating your 25th anniversary.
Feeling is mutual. Appreciate it, dude. There is Mark Spears, ESPN. And I walked over him about five times at the end of that interview.
Well, it's the whole delay thing, Tim. You are not in the wrong. You're a human being, and you're used to talking to people with no delay. That's how you and I were raised. And this has always been a bit of a chore, so don't apologize for that. It's how we were raised. Tim, we're going to take a break. Good news of the day with Tim McAuliffe coming up. Also got a couple things for Timmy. I have a sign that baseball season is, in fact, going to happen. I'm not even messing with you. I have a good feeling about this. And second, I'm going to say good things about Lionel Messi. That's next.
What?
Tim and Sid. TV, radio, online, lots of places.
So. Fraud.
I'm pretty sure this track is not going onto the TV side of this edition of Tim and Sid, but on the radio side, the Humpty Dance, Digital Underground, is just bumping. Which in hindsight was a highly inappropriate track.
To something when the audience can't hear it.
Sometimes, you know what, Tim? Here's your problem. You can't help it. It doesn't matter whether or not all avenues can hear the song we're hearing on the radio.
Right.
The track is so lit, as the kids say.
Lit.
You can't help yourself. You can't help yourself.
Yeah.
When the Humpty Dance comes on, you can only do one thing. That is move your body.
Right. And stay out of the Burger King bathroom.
And for the record, I also like my oatmeal lumpy. We had a lot in common. Right. Tim McAuliffe, Sid Sixera, this is Tim and Sid. We are off tomorrow for Canada Day. Actually, I got three things on the docket here, Tim, before Good News of the Day, so just forgive me. This has been a hell of a nearly 4 months for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the country we're living in. It's a pretty good country. We're not perfect. This has not been handled perfectly.
Sorry,
so we're pretty good. We're pretty good. So wherever you are across Canada, lift one up. I know a lot of people, with the weather being what they are in most parts of the country, they'll be in the backyard on a lawn chair having a drink. Have one for Canada tomorrow, because I like living in this country. I really do.
Tim, especially right now.
Sorry, I should have allowed you a follow on that.
No,
say anything you want off that.
No, I ruined it with the pushing of the button anyway, so go ahead.
No, you didn't. You heightened. Let me heighten baseball further. Speaking of.
Let me listen.
So you and I have been dooming and glooming baseball. It's not our fault, but baseball's in a weird spot here. The Jays are in a weird spot here. They by far have the most hurdles to navigate. However, nothing gets me back on the baseball bandwagon, Tim, like a trade. And we have a trade to report from the world of Major League Baseball. Hit me with something from the board, please. It's a trade. Jeff Passan of ESPN, friend of this show, one of the best in the business. The San Diego Padres are acquiring middle infielder Jorge Mateo from the Oakland A's for your favorite and mine, player to be named later. Boom! I don't know who that guy is, and I don't care. I want to talk about something in baseball other than doom and gloom. So thank you, Jeff Passan, for putting that on my damn timeline. I have no idea who Jorge Mateo is, and I don't care. Trades make me smile. Finally, Tim. Lionel Messi, as you know, has been a bit of a talking point on this show. Lionel Messi of Barcelona and Argentina.
Yeah, I've heard his name brought
you
up
may have
a couple
heard
of different times.
May have heard about it
on this show, especially in relation to his ongoing rivalry with one Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't even want to get into that. But Lionel Messi
scored a cracker today, by the way.
Well, Ronaldo did. Yeah, it's a better goal than Messi. But whatever. Let's talk about Messi. Messi today scored in a 2-2 draw with Atletico Madrid that, quite frankly, Barcelona needed a win, and Madrid looked like they might take the title. Anyway, Messi today scored his 630th career goal for Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Add the 630 with the 70 goals he has scored for Argentina's senior men's national program.
Mm-hmm.
You get 700 goals, And Lionel Messi today became the seventh player in the history of Earth to score 700 combined goals for club and country. And it is just a phenomenal achievement for one of the let me reverse. The greatest individual talent, underlying talent, I have ever seen in my life on a soccer field. I have never seen a human being, maybe outside of Maradona, do the individual things this young man, he's not that young anymore, this guy has done. He has hands, I don't care what I've said of him, I want to make this very clear, as a talent, unparalleled. Now, Ronaldo got the 700 goals first, whatever. Messi's there now. And I just want to make that very clear, because I've taken some digs, and all of them justified. But as a talent, you can't argue with him.
The fraud is referring to his international career. He has his international career is a
fraud.
There are two sides to his coin, McCallum. There are two sides to his coin. But as a talent, I don't want to get that misconstrued. And one of the greatest
is he more talented than Cristiano Ronaldo? Because you said unparalleled.
Yo, he is. I think Ronaldo works harder. Yeah, he is. As a pure talent, yeah. In terms of what I've seen both guys do, yeah. The only thing I've never seen Messi do is like the bicycle kick because he's short. But like past that, I'm serious. Like the goal against Juventus when he was part of Real Madrid, I've never seen Messi do that. But past that, I just want to make that very clear. You're dying to dig into every aspect.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I don't even know where to go off
it. You're dying to dig into every aspect of it.
I have no idea. Like, I don't even know if you're being sincere. Like, I can't even tell.
I am being I'm being totally sincere. And I mean, listen, if he ever did anything, if he ever won anything with Argentina, it would be a whole different thing. But they're two separate discussions. His talent. Go ahead.
It's getting a little too late for that.
Yeah, it's getting a little late. It's a good point. Anyway, Messi, big achievement.
Tomorrow, of course, is Canada Day. It's also our 5th year anniversary. We have the day off. We will not be on TV tomorrow. As Sid mentioned, we will be like many Canadians, sitting in our backyard, sitting somewhere, enjoying hopefully a cold beverage and a beautiful day. And if you are, we hope you enjoy the hell out of it. Sportsnet has a great day of programming planned as well, starting at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time with the Jays' epic 19-inning game against Cleveland on July 1st, 2016, a game that knocked us off the air on our first anniversary. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we were ready for a full show, and you know what? That evening ended in some wings and beers, so I was fine with it in the end. I was kind of
you're okay with that. That's actually true.
I was pretty good with it.
We'll also be showing Bianca Andreescu's run at the 2019 Rogers Cup and different NHL Classic games on all four of the regional channels beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Something we missed yesterday, The Weeknd is giving back to his hometown, my hometown, 500,000 Scarborough Health Network. Started selling branded face masks for $20 in April, promising to match every dollar, all proceeds going to COVID-19 dollars. They've done some pretty good business. So earlier this month, mm-hmm. he donated another $500,000 split between the Black Lives Matter Global Network, Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights camp. So he's doing some great work in the area. I've got a bunch of other stories that we're not going to get to, but I will
say happy birthday
to our good friend Brian Burke. He is 65 today, which means he's officially a senior citizen. I won't say that to his face because he'll get mad. And worldwide, more than 5.7 million people have recovered from COVID-19.
Happy Canada Day to you, Timmy. Hey, Layla. Those on the radio side, Tim's daughter, who I like way more than Tim, just joined the shot. Happy Canada Day, Layla. Let's see what tomorrow brings, kids. Canada's the best. This is Tim and Sid. And remember, as we leave you, never forget.
Wash your hands. Washing your hands. Washing your hands. Washing your hands.